Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Gawker Media is reportedly considering selling itself as a way to pay its mounting legal costs. In March, a jury awarded the pro wrestler Hulk Hogan more than $140 million after he successfully sued Gawker for invasion of privacy for publishing those sex tapes that showed him with a friend's wife. Well, we now know Hogan's legal assault was funded by billionaire Peter Thiel, founder of PayPal, who was outed by the gossip site Gawker over a decade ago. NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik has been thinking about all of this. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
And this kind of moved out of the gossipy world into the, we should maybe think about this, when Thiel's revelation was with the New York Times respected reporter Andrew Ross Sorkin today, kind of a signal of, wait a second, something's going on here. Thiel told Sorkin that funding this battle was one of my greater philanthropic things that I've done. Briefly, tell us about what happened with Thiel and Gawker 10 years ago.
Well, Peter Thiel is, what do you say? He's a fabulous collection of contradictions. He's gay. He's an evangelical Christian. He's a strong libertarian. He's a delegate for Donald Trump in California. And he's a billionaire thanks to what he did at PayPal and a major investment at an early point in Facebook. A decade ago, it was fairly evident that among certain circles in Silicon Valley, it was clear that Peter Thiel was gay. But this was not something he had communicated publicly, broadly, online. He was very much outraged by the fact that a sister site to Gawker, ValleyWag, published the fact. They said, you know, Peter Thiel is gay, and they talked about it. And it was done by a journalist who himself is gay and who felt that the notion of keeping away from public view something that was widely discussed in Silicon Valley circles was itself keeping relevant information from the public.
This was happening quite a bit in the media. There were people who felt that outing other people was a way of moving forward a movement. As you said, it was hypocritical for them not. I mean, this was a much discussed thing that was happening.
Let's be clear. I actually personally am not a fan of this kind of journalism. I think, except in with very rare circumstances, I don't see why people should not be able to figure out for themselves the moment at which they want to publicly talk about their personal sexual orientation. I just don't think that there are a lot of things we don't talk about our private lives publicly unless we absolutely have to. In this instance, Gawker has sort of almost an anarchistic approach to this. They've over the years sought to out major news anchors, an executive of a media company, privately held one at that, at Condé Nast, and other figures who were not ready at that time to be in the open. This was a source of Thiel's anger.
Well, but your thoughts now on his actions. His financial backing of Hulk Hogan, completely legal. And people might be sympathetic, again, because he was outed 10 years ago. But your thoughts on a very, very wealthy man trying to take down a media outlet that did something he doesn't like?
Well, you know, he calls it a philanthropic endeavor. It certainly looks like something of a vendetta that he was not able to accomplish through response to the story that outraged him, satisfaction. And therefore, he is financing. He said, I believe there's as many as three lawsuits currently against Gawker. And Gawker's not, you know, owned by another billionaire. Gawker's actually was controlled by the family of Nick Denton and has some other investors now. This could be sort of existentially perilous to the Gawker sites, which include some others. And they do a mixture. They do gossip, but they also do a mixture of some news reporting, which is of value. Deadspin, Gawker, Jezebel, and others. Gizmodo did the story not so many days ago that forced a national discussion and attention to how Facebook selects the news that we see in our trending topics columns, but also in our news feeds. And that's been useful. So, you know, this could actually wipe out Gawker. And it's the fact that Thiel did this without disclosing that he was involved in this from the outset, you know, suggests a more sinister cast.
Well, and is it existential for media in general?
Look, I think that when we're in an age where there have been a new class of billionaires created, particularly in Silicon Valley, which is a culture that is pretty disdainful of the press, a lot of it quite libertarian, as in leave me alone, and a lot of it pretty haughty about old media and the way it works, and secretive about the way in which they make decisions. To have folks like that be able with these newfound fortunes is simply to shop for other people to go and fight with media companies and try to drag them down, I think is I think it's pretty problematic. I think it's pretty threatening. I think people who welcome the free flow of information should be fearful about it. You know, in our society, we tend to think that bad speech should be drowned out by good speech. That doesn't always work. It doesn't always successful. But it's problematic if the dollars involved in these billionaires can simply wipe out a news site that they don't like.
Well, but very quickly, David, what about people you say who get other people to do it? What about if they do it themselves? Mother Jones, right, was sued by a very rich man who also was trying to take them down.
Right. He sued Mother Jones and tied them up in litigation for quite some time because he was upset by some of the reporting they did in support of exposés about the Boy Scouts and the questions of child abuse in the state of Idaho. And he was outraged by that. But, you know, you have these deep pockets and they're not simply looking for damages. They're looking to take media companies down. And, you know, in a country that supports freedom of speech and freedom of expression, certainly people are on the hook if they libel somebody or they do other things that are against the law. But being tied up in litigation for years and being in financial threat, that's a new and present danger, I think, for smaller media companies.
And one I want to take up with you again, NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Thank you.
You bet.